Against the blue background, a shimmering louvered image of a castle forms. The space beneath the castle flares magically to reveal the words Walt Disney Pictures as a shooting star creates an arch. In space, a view glides toward Mars.
Mars surface ops, this is Houston. We're go for data.
Copy, Houston. Base pedal temp good. Remote pedal actuator good. Probe primary and auxiliary transponders A-OK. Shunt voltage 3-0.
DSN uplink rate is now 61.101.
Copy. We'll see if we can better that for you. This is the probe's last pass through this quadrant. We need all the data we can get.
A space rover wheels along.
Stand by. We're getting a low current level here. Voltage is down to 185.
Here's our rock, fellas. 119er.
Beautiful.
There it is again. Voltage down to 113.
Can you repo the solar arrays?
Negative. MPC load is critical.
Mars surface ops, we're losing the signal. We're losing the signal here.
A monitor view blurs, fills with snow, and blinks off.
Roger that. Transmission terminated.
Well, people, congratulations. We collected data on over a dozen new rocks. I'd say this was 5 years and $3 trillion well spent.
A view glides up past the rover to find a massive futuristic alien city bustling with traffic. A small spaceship recklessly plows through a green tidal, my favorite Martian. On Earth, a news station sign overlooks a coastal city. Green text types out, Santa Barbara, Earth. A brown vintage coupe skids into the parking lot. The coupe reverses into a spot. A tall man with sandy blonde hair quickly exits the car and slams his door. He tries to walk away, but his jacket is caught in the door. After trying to free himself, he repeatedly kicks the car. He struggles to open the door from the inside and fails. Finally, he removes his jacket and darts off. Inside, the man joins a group led by a stout, gray-haired man.
Come on, gentlemen, keep up. I want an exclusive with that policeman who was in the Santa Barbara shootout.
I'll take it.
Glad you can make it on, Harry. Prescott, yeah. It's yours. Take Harrison and camera car 5. I want it for the 6 o'clock. It's no good at 10. You got that?
It's no good at 10.
What are you, a parrot? Get moving. I want footage of that first Monument Bank that got knocked off down in Oxnard.
I'm all over it.
Van Gundy.
Sir.
And get that security camera's videotape. You got that?
Yeah.
No tape, no story.
You got it, boss. Whatever you say, boss.
I like Van Gundy. I need something on that shuttle launch tonight at Vandenberg.
Well, that's me. I know Vandenberg, Chief.
Chief, who are you, Clark Kent? Felix, it's yours. Get interviews with all the top brass involved. Oh, take Brace with you. It's a good story for her to cut her teeth on.
Okay. Brace? Are you sure? Because I usually produce Brace's on-camera segments. We're a team. I mean, we're more than a team. Brace and I are...
You and my daughter are what?
Holding a mug, his boss fiercely eyes him. Turning their heads, his co-workers also stare at him.
Nothing.
That's right. I didn't send Brace to all those fancy English boarding schools to wind up with the likes of you. Oh, Hara, I've got something here that's right up your alley. A senior citizens tanning contest being held tomorrow at Sunset Pier. The Hawaiian Tropic Senior Cocoa Butter Classic. Huh? I want footage of all the old farts baking. An interview with a doctor on the dangers of sunbathing, yada, yada, yada. Something to fill time. If my idiot weatherman runs short...
O'Hara follows his boss into his office.
Mr. Channing! Excuse me, sir. Look, you hired me because I had 10 years' experience as a newspaper reporter. Now, I will go to the ends of the earth to bring you a great story. But I need the chance.
You know, Tim, when I look at you, I see myself at your age.
Really?
And I was a moron! But you got a lot of nerve, O'Hara, and I like that. Sometimes. Okay, it's yours.
But you said...
Shut up, Felix.
You won't regret this, sir. You really won't.
O'Hara!
Yeah?
You screw up on this Vandenberg thing, then you're fired. Is that clear?
Yeah. Crystal.
Felix watches Tim hurry off. At night, a space shuttle stands on a launch pad. A brunette journalist reports.
We're here at the Vandenberg Air Force Base where for the first time...
Cut.
Trace, sweetie, can we lose the gum? Excuse me, Sergeant.
She spits gum into Billy's hand.
I love show business.
Yeah, okay, everybody back to one, please. Here we go.
Same thing in 5, 4, 3, 2.
We're here at Vandenberg Air Force Base.
We're here at Vandenberg.
Vandenberg.
We're just minutes from now.
We're just minutes from now. The shuttle Atlantis will be launching for the first time on the West Coast.
I understand that Project Deadhead.
I understand the Project Deadhead is carrying a sophisticated satellite.
To study the Fiona Comet.
Study the Fiona Comet.
Yes, the satellite has a specialized guidance system which will allow it to pass closer to the comet than ever before.
Yeah. Is Jerry Garcia on board?
What?
Is Jerry Garcia on board?
Is Jerry Garcia on board?
Well, yes. Actually, Project Deadhead gets its name from the fact that its payload includes the ashes of famous rocker Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead. How in the world did you know that?
It's my job to know
that. It's my job to know these things, Captain.
Well,
she smiles at a camera. In a news van, Tim blows a kiss at a monitor showing her. Massive clouds of white vapor billow out from the launch pad as the shuttle lifts off. In the news van, one of the monitors shows the ascending space vessel as Tim writes down some notes.
Okay, Lizzie, go to Brace.
A blonde camera operator pans to Brace.
All right, Brace, here we go, the big wrap-up. And so on this, the night of the Fiona Comet.
The night of the Fiona Comet, our thoughts turn to that satellite's only passenger, Jerry Garcia.
I'm Brace Channing.
I'm Brace Channing for KGSC. Thank you, Captain Dalton.
Thank you.
God, you're beautiful.
God, you're beautiful.
Tim quickly releases a button.
Thank you. So are you.
And we're out.
Tim, I'd like a word with you.
And I'm dead.
In a military control room.
Colonel?
Yes?
A trim young tech stands.
You might want to take a look at this, sir.
Fiona Comet? So what?
It's changing direction, sir.
Well, that's impossible. Are you sure it's not the trajectory of our own satellite?
Yes, sir. The comet's just changed direction again, sir.
It's gotta be the equipment.
I've got downline confirmation.
No, sir. Our backup computers verify all systems go. It's coming down, sir.
Satellite?
No, sir. The comet.
Okay, let's go to General Alert. Major, scramble the F-16s.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, get Zeddy Group on the line.
Copy that.
Showtime, boys. We got ourselves a UFO.
At the news van.
Excuse me?
Brace moves Billy aside.
What's this?
It's Captain Dalton's telephone number.
Well, he's not really my type, but...
You made me look such an idiot.
Brace, come on. Let me explain.
No, look. You just wait until I tell my daddy.
No,
Billy!
Wait, what? Brace, come on. Wait a minute. Look,
it's nice knowing you.
Ooh, let us know where you end up.
Lizzie walks up.
It wasn't a complete disaster.
Oh, compared to what?
Vandenberg? Titanic. I'm sorry, pal.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Patting his shoulder, she walks away. Now, Tim's car drives down an empty, dimly lit road by the coast. Tim drives pensively. His radio switches stations.
Oh, not another ticket.
Red lights approach behind Tim's car. He peers up to see a small spaceship fly over, bounce off the road ahead, and crash into a light post.
Whoa!
He pulls to a stop by the broken light. On a beach, the damaged, grounded ship sparks. Waves crash nearby. Slim, reddish hands with three fingers each emerge near the crash. Using a flashlight, Tim exits his car. The car speeds at Tim, then stops just inches from hitting him. He jumps back.
Are you crazy? You're gonna total my car!
Did you see it? Did you see it?
See what?
It was a crash, a plane or something. It was like a stealth fighter. I don't know. It happened so fast.
Oh my God, a plane crash! But that's terrible! We don't even have any video!
God, it's over here.
A three-eyed alien peers at them.
Tim, wait for me!
Human.
The alien clicks a device and the spaceship shrinks out of view. As they approach the crash site, Brace lights a cigarette.
What was that?
What was what?
It was this flicker, this light that... Never mind.
What, Tim? Tim, wait! Oh, my heel! These are really expensive shoes, you know.
Tim uses his flashlight to examine the site. From behind a rock, the alien watches.
Come on, Tim, where is it?
It was this huge thing. It was this...
You know, it's really creepy out here.
Brace chucks her cigarette, which lands on the alien. Tim picks up the now shrunken ship.
Tim? You got 30 seconds and I'm leaving!
It's roughly the size of a football. Tossing the cigarette, the alien spits on it.
Look at this.
What's that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is this your idea of a joke?
No, I swear to you, look at this. I mean, this thing was huge.
And I thought you were one of the normal ones.
I am one of the normal ones, normally.
He follows her to the street. Her license plate reads, Dad's Gal.
Nice try, Tim. You and me, alone on the beach, on the night of a lunar eclipse, no less.
I didn't make this up.
Keep this as a memento of our last date.
Last date? We haven't even had our first date.
Well, consider this booth.
Brace! Brace!
Putting his hands to his hips, he watches her drive off. Obscured by shadow, the alien opens a container on his suit.
Perplex.
The Martian swallows a green gumball-like pill. His long, three-fingered hand transforms into a human hand. Tim enters his car. The alien shapeshifts, taking on the appearance of a slim, middle-aged man with two large brown eyes.
Humans.
Come on.
He sees Tim slamming a steering wheel.
Savages.
Antennae extend out of the Martian's head, and he turns invisible. The bushes around him move. Tim examines the little ship. His trunk opens on its own, then closes. The hapless journalist turns, but sees nothing unusual. He drives off. Now, in a charming neighborhood, Tim's old coupe turns into a driveway. It stops outside a guest house situated over a garage. Sitting in his parked car, he examines the shrunken spacecraft.
Tim!
No, Mrs. Brown!
Too much lipstick?
It's just that you, kind of appeared, that's all.
I saved you some of my special brownies. Mrs. Brown, brownies, get it?
Yes, that's good.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Did you see the eclipse? Wasn't it très magnifique?
These French tapes really paying off, aren't they?
Oh, you noticed.
Thanks for the brownies, Mrs. Brown.
Oh, Tim. I wanted to remind you about the charity rummage sale this weekend. If you have anything you want to donate, you just leave it in the garage and I'll pick it up.
Well, trust me, this will be right on top of the pile.
Oh.
Good night, Mrs. Brown.
Oh, one more thing I wanted to tell you, Tim. Good night, Tim.
He goes upstairs and enters his dimly lit home. A red lava lamp glows. He makes his way up a brief stairway and puts the ship down. Leaning over, he picks up a small toy figure next to his answering machine.
I'm having a bad night.
I couldn't agree with you more completely.
Shut up.
How do you do it?
O'Hara here. Please leave a message. Make it short.
Channing here. You're fired. Short enough for you?
What more can I say? When you're right, you're right.
Tim falls back on his bed. Downstairs, the Martian emerges from the trunk of Tim's coupe. He waves exhaust away. Still wearing his spacesuit, which is silver in hue, he backsteps to a door. He unsuccessfully tries the doorknob, but then raises one finger and waves it around. The door opens on its own. Entering Tim's home, he spots a mirror. On his bed, Tim sits up wearily. The alien cautiously explores Tim's home. As Tim turns on a light, the alien faces him, then ducks. Trying to grab the ship, the alien sees the toy figure.
Stay where you are, little Earthman, and no harm will come to you.
Say, I wish I thought of that.
Hello?
What more can I say? When you're right, you're right.
Be silent.
How do you do it?
thought I told you to shut up.
I couldn't agree with you more completely.
The alien grabs it.
Don't leave me no choice.
He sends it out a window.
Who's there? I got a gun!
The alien's antennae extend, and he disappears. Wielding a golf club, Tim sees the shrunken ship floating away on its own. He swings and hits the alien, who reappears.
Static.
Tim walks downstairs to find the alien unconscious on his floor, the ship beside him. Tim taps the alien's chest with the club.
Hey, buddy. Hey. Hey.
Coming off the alien, the suit sleeves try to grab the club.
That's it, Earthling! It's alive!
Standing on its own, the suit struggles to get the club from Tim.
Okay, you want to play games?
It dives between his legs.
I must be going nuts!
It yanks the club hard.
One strike, no balls! Oh, over here, Tiger Woods! How are you?
Swinging, Tim breaks a leg.
Hey, look, Jimmy Hoffa!
Leave your suit from hell!
The suit crawls under a couch. Tim sees a shape moving under his rug and swings at it. He moves the table.
Mutilate you!
Tim swings in a frenzy. He glances around.
Come on, show your face, if you had one.
Wielding the club, Tim looks to find the alien's body missing.
Where'd he go? What the heck was in those brownies?
From behind, the alien hits Tim on the head, knocking him out.
We're dealing with primitive life forms. Sometimes one must resort to primitive acts. Are you okay, suit?
The suit emerges.
You don't mind my asking, where were you? This alien was trying to kill me.
Don't be such a wet blanket.
Wait a minute. Leave my mother out of this, you big...
You're following it up on this no-good carbon-based, over-oxygenated, miserable excuse of a...
Tim?
Oh, no. It's another one.
I know you're not asleep yet. Tim, it's Lizzie.
Blocks, it's Lizzie. What's a Lizzie? I would say a Model T Ford, but this one has better tires. Ooga, ooga.
I know what a woman is, but what do I do with it?
Help, Mr. Lifeguard, I'm drowning. I need mouth-to-mouth.
Ah, a saliva exchange. I would never partake in such an unsanitary interaction. There must be some other way to greet a female and then be rid of it.
Jim.
If it was me, I'd be he.
Jim, please.
Good thing he's a...
The alien makes his way over to Tim. Leaning in face to face, he puts a finger to Tim's forehead. Waves of glowing energy move up the alien's arm, and he shapeshifts. Wearing Tim's face and body, the Martian moves his mouth around.
Okay, Tim, I'm picking up the Heidi key.
He examines the real Tim's face.
You can open the door.
Turning, he sprints off. Lizzie enters.
Tim?
Lizzie, my dear friend or family member.
She turns away from his naked form.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, inappropriate.
I told you they'd cover this fling back here.
He dashes off and returns in the suit.
Lizzie, my dear friend or family member.
You sound funny. You catch up a cold?
A cold? A virus?
Yes.
A contagious bubonic
plague. You better leave.
What? What in the world? Are you a Trekkie?
He glances down at his suit and poses.
Yes. I am.
Okay, what's going on?
What's going on?
Tim, are you okay? You don't seem like yourself.
Well, I'm Tim, all right. Tim O'Hara. No reason to doubt it.
What's going on?
Lots.
Awkwardly grabbing Lizzie's shoulders, he pulls her in. Screwing up his face, the alien kisses her. Both of them keep their eyes wide open. He maneuvers her shoulders around in circles, then pulls back.
Lizzie. If you're my sister, an explanation is in order.
Does this mean that you and I
indeed.
Are...
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have work to do, and what? You need to go.
He escorts her out and closes the door after her. She smiles.
Human emotions.
Crazy monkeys.
He wipes his brow. Beaming, Lizzie makes her way downstairs. Sliding down a banister, she smiles up at his home. Now, a black heavy-duty SUV arrives to the crash site where several matching vehicles are parked. A helicopter searches the area with a light. In hazmat suits, people investigate the site. A black limousine pulls up. Wearing sunglasses, a man with a white goatee gets out.
Where's Kolar?
Examining mucus-type protoplasm.
A bespectacled man tastes the alien spit.
It's saline-based.
Good God, Kolar, put that on a slide next time.
I want this stuff analyzed. And the cigarette? Tested for prints. I want to know whose this was.
There's more, sir.
Alien footprints are in the sand.
Quadruped becomes biped? It must have taken human form.
The footprints stop at the road. You think someone may have picked them up?
Evidence of a crash? Spaceship, an alien in human form? It's just like the incident of 64.
Keep your mouth shut, you idiot. That incident is not only classified, but it never happened. You got it?
Yes, sir.
And once again, we have no alien and no UFO. If you can't get me either one, then you better start looking for another job.
But you heard him! Move it! It's out there somewhere!
So move it!
Yes,
go
sir.
Stand! Move!
And God help the poor soul who picked him up.
Lying on whitewashed boards, Tim wakes up. His hand lands on a mounted lamp, and he finds himself floating against the ceiling.
Silence!
Subculture!
Let me down!
Look what you did to me.
Barbarian!
Let me down!
As you wish.
In human form, the alien points, and Tim falls. He shoves his bent antenna back down.
A thief, you are extremely clumsy.
I'm not a thief.
So I see. Tim O'Hara, you are a reporter.
Reporter? No. No, I'm a producer, pal. Let me tell you.
With a wave of his finger, he flings Tim back to the ceiling.
Look, I didn't steal anything, okay? I don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
He waves his finger, and Tim falls down to the floor again.
Warning, Tim O'Hara. Any attempt to expose me will be useless. Martians use 100% of their brain capacity. Humans, less than 10.
I think we use more than 10.
Your astronauts pee in their spacesuits. Case closed.
Tim shrugs and nods. The alien grabs his ship. Tim struggles to get up, and the alien uses his handheld device. Tim turns to see the ship growing back toward its normal size. It crushes Tim's table and pushes his furniture out of its way. Tim distances himself.
Okay, it's just a dream. Just a very bad dream.
The alien enters the ship.
Just come on, wake up! Wake up!
Tim slaps himself.
What's with that?
I believe it's called a nervous breakdown.
Last night did not happen. I don't believe in aliens.
I heard that. To us, you are the alien. If you must know, I am from a planet you call Mars.
And what? I'm from Uranus? It never...
I was getting to you! Don't get a crease in your scrutiny.
Please, just introduce me to Monkey Boy.
This is my zoot. A polymorphic Zootinex 3000.
Just look, don't touch.
Your suit talks?
Incessantly.
Corduroys talk, nobody gives them grief. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Mars, wait a minute. There's no life on Mars. We've sent probes.
I try to explain it, but you people still think E equals MC squared. You're still trying to analyze our rocks.
He checks part of the ship.
Oh, blasted sand particles. They've completely crystallized the vortex generator.
Hey, do you mind?
No one.
Thank God, an eyewitness.
Eyewitness? Negative. He wants to tell no one.
No offense, pal, but your ship is double parked in my living room, okay? You're the biggest story in the history of mankind. There is intelligent life out there in the universe.
I hope you're not including yourself in that statement.
Oh, Tim, listen, I'm so sorry to bother you so early in the morning, but I got a hold of your mail and I wanted to be able to...
Could you just, please, come here. Take a look at that!
He finds the ship gone. The alien sits.
Tim, you definitely need a maid. Oh, hello.
The alien puts away a magazine.
Greetings.
Oh, I'm sorry to catch you in your pajamas.
Pajamas?
Where's the spaceship?
The alien shows the shrunken ship.
Right here.
Oh, for the rummage sale. Does it come with an action figure?
You're looking at him.
Oh, I don't believe we've met. Hi.
No, don't touch him.
Tim,
he's a Martian.
I beg your Martin?
Yes, yep. Correct. Martin.
No. He's
Uncle Martin.
The Martian silences Tim.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you.
He turns invisible, okay? His suit talks. He's got a talking suit. He's got these things that pop out of his head. Sure, go ahead. Come on, give her the finger.
Tim!
No, I didn't mean that. I don't know what I mean. Just forget it.
He'll have to forgive Tim, Mrs. Brown. Oh. He lost his job last night, and he's experiencing a nervous breakdown.
Oh, poor dear. I hope it doesn't affect the rent.
Don't worry, I'm here to look after him.
Huh. He's very lucky to have an uncle like you in his life. Martin.
And you, Mrs. Brown, are like a brilliant quasar in the black hole of my day.
Oh. Call me Lorelei.
Lorelei. The sound of pure mountain spring water from the center of the earth.
Oh, my.
Lorelei extends her hand, and Uncle Martin takes it. He licks it like an affectionate puppy.
I obviously misconstrued a custom. I apologize. I'm from New York.
No, actually, it's fine. It's perfect. Oh.
Oh, brother.
Oh, Martin.
Yes, Lorelei.
Mr. Brown passed away several years ago. I thought you might like to know that. Mm-hmm. Au revoir.
Brushing her hair back, she strolls away. Martin turns toward Tim, who tidies up.
Just for the record, a handshake will do for me.
Do you think that I actually enjoy tasting that female's exoskeleton? I merely use my data on your primitive species to determine the optimum way to avoid suspicion.
Yeah, well, what's the optimum way to get home?
Butts. I don't know, Zoot. Where on this barbaric swamp of a planet can we find the makings of an electron accelerator?
Maybe your new girlfriend has one.
Oh, that's very funny.
Excuse me, fellas. I don't mean to interrupt, but I think I might be able to help you find that electron, you know, thing.
We're toast.
Now they walk through a store.
You really think you can repair your ship with all this junk?
Everything has been carefully chosen for its potential to fashion a crude vortex electron accelerator. Except for this. A poopa scoopa. I have no idea what it does, but it's fascinating. Excuse me, where are your nuclear implosion couplers?
For a garden hose?
A teenaged employee awkwardly smiles.
I'm never going to get off this infernal planet.
Later.
The IQ of a pancake.
You're right, humans are truly the amoebas of the universe.
Yeah, this is where my guy talks to his tinfoil suit.
He gets hit.
Hey, what was that for? It wasn't me, it was Zoot.
Tim glares, then catches up to Martin.
Come here, sucker. Listen. You've been on Earth, what, all of 10 minutes? It's not so bad here.
Oh, that's what Nina said.
Who?
Exactly. One of my planet's most gifted scientists. And now he's gone, without a trace. He arrived on Earth in 1964, and I presume was abducted by your government. I shudder to think what they did to him in the name of science. You know, what are they laughing at?
Hey, spaceman!
I've been discovered!
Martin shreds the onlooker's newspaper.
Sorry about that.
Tim restrains him.
What happened?
They don't know anything. They were just making fun of your
game. Making fun? I'm one of the best dressed beings on my planet.
Yo, Elvis, nice suit.
Well, Dorothy, I hate to tell you this, but you're not in Kansas anymore.
Come on.
Now, Tim waits by a dressing room.
The minute I turn my back, you're getting into someone else's pants.
I need to blend in. And you stick out like a putt stick at a black dog convention.
Tim takes out a camcorder.
Gawking at every t-shirt and sweatpant we pair.
Come apart at the seams.
Why is Zoot always so ass to know?
He speaks into the video camera.
Martian footage. Take one.
Oh, Sue, please. This is tearing me apart, too.
I know that I'm not what I used to be. I mean, a stretch mark here, a line.
Tim places the camera under a dressing room stall door. Grabbing the camera, an older woman opens the door, knocking him down, and throws the camera at him.
Pervert! It's not safe for a woman at all.
I'm ready to blend in now.
Wearing pink board shorts, a bright yellow tank, and a blue Hawaiian shirt, Martin smirks.
Outstanding.
Martin, that outfit looks ridiculous.
Styling, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Real cool.
I've got that touch on two planets.
I gotta get out more.
How did your Zoot take the,
Zoot, he's highly intelligent. He understands.
Ah! You used me, you buttonhole! Go on, have your fling! Colors fade! You say!
Hello?
Huh? Oh, incoming.
Hello?
Zoot goes limp. A pretty sales clerk enters and scans the stall.
Jeez. Talk about a tacky suit.
Tacky, huh?
Zoot smacks her from behind.
Hey! Hey!
She whips around.
Now turn the other cheek.
Oh, hey!
The woman exits.
Catch you later, Sparky.
She walks away. Zoot leans out.
All right, I'm busting out. Hey, go ahead, try them all on. See if I care.
A young brunette holds up a dress.
Whoa! If love is a crime, lock me up. I'm guilty. Look at her. A perfect size 6 and never been worn.
Zoot moves to the dress.
Darling, don't speak. Just come to me.
He dances with it.
Oh, this is crazy. I'm a polymorph and you're a polyester. Yes, you're synthetic, but I like that in a girl. Give me some thread, baby.
He dips it. Tim and Martin see.
What's this, Velcro? No. No, thank you, little girl. I don't want to buy any cookies.
You lecherous leotard, have you no shame?
Look who's talking, Mr. Clothes Horse.
Now, in you go, or you'll take a long walk on a short hanger.
Coming in for a landing. Flop down.
I said bag it, mister.
All right, you don't have to throw me in the hamper. Dork.
Zoot's container opens and he shrinks inside. Martin picks it up.
Next time, the dry cleaner.
Bite these.
Pills drop out.
Blast, Erplex. Oh, Venus, Neptune, Bishan Wantari, help me, Tim. Mm-hmm. And Terminer, Tim, it's a little blue one.
A boy lifts a blue pill to his mouth.
Give me that, you age-impaired little blots.
Mine! Gum!
Mine, Nerplex.
The boy blows a raspberry. Martin reciprocates with a long three-pronged tongue.
Why wouldn't you give the kid a piece of gum?
Okay, sure, right. Let's see, you have one. Come on, let's go. No, come on.
What are you doing? What are you
Martin leads him into a stall.
No, not the finger. Don't do the finger.
Try some.
Why?
You don't want to try Martian gum?
No, not particularly.
Afraid? Earthling?
Tim pops a yellow Nerplex in his mouth and chews. Martin chews as well, and they both face a mirror. Tim closes his eyes and lifts his brow.
You know what? That's not bad. The center's got a nice little zing to it.
Notice anything different?
Tim taps his head with a transformed tentacled hand.
What time do you have?
His other arm becomes a tentacle.
Spit.
Tim spits out the Nerplex. The saleswoman comes over.
Everything okay in there?
Zipper trouble.
Yeah.
Uncle Martin closes the stall door.
This gum, as you call it, allows me to take on the outward appearance of a human being. On you, it has a reverse effect.
So that's what you really look like.
Don't be disgusting. That was Fluvian Nerplex.
Oh,
we right. Carry many different planets. If you think that was bad, this is Venox 7.
Oh, well, that's...
Never mess with Venox 7. When it comes to Venox 7, just say no.
Martin holds up a black and red Nerplex. Now, elderly people dance. A banner reads, Senior Citizen Tanning Contest. Brace reports and Lizzie films her with a co-worker.
The sun, when you can get it. The sand, the surf. Usually the beach conjures up images of our youth, but come on down to Sunset Pier today and your contraceptions of...
Preconceptions.
Contraceptions.
The preconceptions.
Phoenix!
I said preconceptions, I swear, preconceptions.
Lily.
Preconceptions, I know it's a preconceptions.
Lily.
I should listen to my parents and be a doctor. I hate this. Oh.
A senior flexes his muscles at Brace.
Are we still rolling?
Nobody said cut.
Brace rolls her eyes.
What do you think?
I think your bathing suit should have a top.
Okay, cut.
Felix!
Brace glares into the camera.
Felix is toast.
If Tim doesn't get his tune, we could all be looking for work.
All right.
Nearby, Tim pulls to a stop with Uncle Martin in his old coupe.
Wait here.
They both exit.
What is the meaning of this divergence?
I gotta see some friends.
Negative!
Exclamation point. We're wasting valuable time. I should...
Look at that.
Martin gazes at the ocean.
Do you have any idea how fortunate you are? The only water we get back on Mars has to be squeezed from rocks.
Yeah, well, surf's up, dude.
Tim, I'm so glad you came. Hurricane Brace hit again.
Okay. Martin, I gotta go. I'll be right...
Lizzie! How nice to see you again.
Have we met?
Of course. Not. How nice to see you again for the first time. I'm Tim's Uncle Martin.
Oh. Lizzie and Tim stare at Uncle Martin's stomach.
What was that?
I must find nourishment.
That came from your stomach?
Stunks.
He holds up three fingers.
Oh, he is... It's such a kidder. Listen, I'll be with you in a couple minutes, okay? You just take... I'll be right over. Tell her to... We gotta get you...
Spotting an ice cream shop, Tim drags Uncle Martin inside.
Excuse me, could I have a double dip? Actually, I made that a triple dip. Chocolate chip, please?
Yes, sir. Tim, I need nourishment, not colored buckets of frozen lard.
Look, this is very nutritious food here on Earth. We eat this for breakfast.
Tim, you don't need to try poison to know that it kills.
Here, take this. Give me 5 minutes, okay? I have to go to the news van.
Martin scowls at his triple scoop ice cream cone.
Phoenix!
I should be consistent, I swear, free consistent!
You unprofessional little man! All you have to do is come up with the dumb things I say!
Grace slams the van door.
Billy!
Grace! You'd rate this tantrum?
About a 7.5 on the Brace scale.
I'll talk to Felix.
Hey, you never told me about your uncle.
Are you?
Tim pulls Lizzie aside.
Look, I'm glad you beat me. We really need to talk. This is big. This
yeah,
is really
I know.
Big.
I know.
You do?
Yes. Look, I've been thinking, and our friendship really means a lot to me. And I don't want to screw that up.
Okay.
So I think it would be better if we just pretended that nothing ever happened between us last night.
What happened last night?
Exactly.
I'm not sure I understand what...
Me either.
She pulls him in and kisses him.
I guess we're both a little confused, huh, Tim?
Shrugging, she leaves. He stares after her. Tim enters the van, where Felix sits.
Easy.
I thought you would, She's terrible, Tim. How did you last so long?
She's a little high maintenance, but she's okay.
Oh, lust is blind.
Do we still have that hidden camera stuff somewhere?
You're sitting on it. Why?
Tim smiles.
Let me help you with this.
Oh, would you please?
No, these words are way too big.
Huh? Humidity?
Hot.
Oh.
Near a crowd of dancing seniors, Grace sits on a bench, smoking and muttering to herself.
Miss Channing, could I have a word with you, please?
Okay.
She hands a copy of her headshot to Koloff.
I've already signed it.
Two men in suits block her path.
Come on, who are you guys, huh?
One man covers her mouth as the other injects her. She falls unconscious. Koli picks up her cigarette with tweezers. Now Tim exits the news van.
Okay, guys, you're all set. Where's Grace?
I know, she took off.
Be quick, and her dad's going to free me.
Hey, what's going on over there?
People crowd the ice cream shop.
Uh-oh. Billy, put that in my car. I gotta go.
Call me!
Martin!
Running in, Tim finds Martin surrounded by flying ice cream scoops and supplies. He drops one scoop in his mouth after another.
Oh, I like it! Martin!
Martin snaps to attention. The ice cream scoops and supplies fall.
Tim, you're here! You've got to save me from myself! It's intoxicating. Ooh, cookie dough. Oh, yeah.
Uncle Martin, I need to get you back to the home. All they give him there is jello. Here we go.
Lights.
Martin's belly bulges. Still wearing sunglasses, Koli's boss watches Tim usher Martin away. He licks an ice cream cone.
Oh, my God.
Later, Tim opens a case and turns on some equipment. He holds up a camera disguised as a pen.
Martian footage, take two.
A camera view descends downstairs into a garage where Martin works on his ship. Tim wears the camera pen in his shirt pocket.
Oh. Chubby hubby hangover, huh? Sorry.
I swear I'll never touch that stuff again. One scoop's too many, a million aren't enough.
So, how's it coming? Anyway.
Oh, I converted a blow dryer, two elastic bands, and an Acme Bungaway insect farm into a temporary electron accelerator.
Is it working?
Not at all, but on the positive side, your garage is now cockroach-free. Blast it, rent!
He thumps it.
This is a rental, is it?
My regular ship is in the shop for its mid-millennium tune-up.
Where's your, your suit?
Zoot
thing.
Ho-ho, washing up.
Zoot jumps out of the washing machine.
Spit me, mama! Some ice! So good!
Now 5 more minutes, Zoot. Get into the dryer.
You're bringing me down, man! Oh, what I wouldn't give to shed this grotesque human facade and let the cool earth waters caress my Martian skin. Oh,
so why don't you? Why not indeed?
Move over, Zoot.
Martin, no, I meant out in the hot tub, out back. You know, to be private, by yourself.
You mean spit out my Netflix and revert to Martian form right outside your Thomas tile?
Exactly.
Oh, shh. Do you think that's safe?
Oh, yes, of course it's safe.
Do it.
Good, let's go.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Tim!
Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh, it's just a hot tub, Martin. No big deal.
I don't mean just that. I know I must have created complete havoc with your simple life since the moment I arrived. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
Uncle Martin kindly squeezes Tim's shoulder before running upstairs.
Yahoo! Yahoo!
Hello!
Elsewhere.
Hello! Would somebody please come and tell me what's going on here?
In a lab. Brace lies strapped to a table.
All right, Miss Channing.
He shows her cigarette.
You know what this is? This has been positively identified by my team of experts as your cigarette. It was discovered at the site of a UFO crash. And on it are trace elements of what we believe to be alien DNA.
Alien?
Oh, don't play dumb with me. You are an alien inhabiting the body of a woman. Very, very attractive woman.
Oh, please.
Dr. Coli, we've run the tests on the other cigarette. It's human DNA.
Oh. So sorry. An honest mistake.
He frees her.
So, Miss Channing, do you have any idea how alien DNA ended up on your cigarette?
I might. First of all, let's talk about what's in this for me.
The safety of this entire planet may depend on what you say to me. There's nothing in it for you!
Yeah! Dr. Coli! May I call you a doctor? Think about it. When this story breaks, you will be the most famous scientist in history.
Whoa.
You will be on the cover of scientific whatever. You will be the man that proves that aliens exist. I will be the woman who tells the world your story.
She leans close to his ear.
We'll do it together.
His glasses fog.
Okay.
In Tim's backyard, Martin enjoys a bubble bath in his alien form. Tim stealthily sets up a ladder. He ascends, aiming a camera through a trellis with ivy. He films Martin, throwing away trash. Lorelei spots Tim.
Tim, what are you doing up there?
Uncle Martin's in the hot tub, and I'm watching.
Oh. What a strange family.
Later.
You can sleep here. You guys do sleep, don't
you?
Oh,
most definitely.
Oh, great. We have something in common.
You're very kind, Tim O'Hara.
No, just very tired.
Oh, enjoy your rest, cycle. I'll do the same. I could use a little shut-eye.
So could I.
Tim turns off his light. Martin turns it back on immediately.
Rise and shine!
Yeah, already put in. Right.
What's going to happen today, Tim O'Hara? I feel like a million rings.
Hey, it's still tonight. You've been asleep for 30 seconds.
30 seconds? Wow, I really was tired. What are we waiting for? There's a whole metropolis out there just waiting to be discovered.
No, not in the middle of the night, there isn't.
I feel like ice cream, and there's no time like the present.
Outside, a man spies from a car labeled SETI at dawn.
Why aren't they open? What's wrong with this planet?
Martin, I told you, they don't open till 10 o'clock.
I could be first in line.
Yeah, well, they aren't going to let you in when they do open, not after that little stunt you pulled yesterday.
Tim and Martin wait outside the ice cream shop. Uncle Martin unlocks the door.
We call that breaking and entering.
They leave. A SETI SUV trails them.
The smell of moist air. I'll never forget this. Your ocean. Ice cream. This primitive planet may not compare to Mars, but it's not the rotten rock I thought it was.
Don't look now, but I think we're being followed.
Impossible. My acute sensory perception would have detected that immediately.
He smacks his own head, then turns.
Now it's working.
Hey! Hey, buddy!
Cole Eye's boss drives off.
I'm doomed!
No, just calm down. It's probably just some tourist or something. Besides, even if you did get caught, you'd probably be, you know, welcomed.
Welcomed? Tim, where do Earthlings put the most beautiful and rare animals? If I don't get that spaceship fixed, I'm finished. Just like Nina.
Later.
Can you fix it? Because I'm dying here. I need a drink, is what I need.
Zoot pours a glass of fabric softener.
Down near the hatch.
Working on his ship, Martin tries to connect wires. They spark.
Who's that?
What blazes?
He smacks the ship and a display drops down.
Oh, Blotz! Zoot! And ISS!
Zoot guzzles fabric softener from the bottle. Now Tim scans his footage.
Blasted rental!
This is a rental? Spin me, Mama! So nice!
Tim smiles warmly. Watching Martin's musical bubble bath, Tim laughs.
Uncle Martin, what are you...
His smile fades, and he turns away thoughtfully. At a desk, Lizzie reads a book. She picks up a phone.
Tech department?
Hi, me.
Oh, hi.
What are you doing?
Research.
Have you ever gotten in your head how you felt about somebody and then...
I don't know, something they said or did just suddenly changed your mind.
Well, yeah.
Could you come over?
Please, I really need to see you. It's important.
Sure. Could you give me like a half an hour?
You're the best, Lizzie.
Okay, see ya. Oh my gosh.
She hurries off. In his bedroom, Tim sets the phone down and flops on his side. Martin searches the kitchen.
Martin, I'm not like you. I need more than 12 seconds of sleep.
All I need is one lousy electronic accelerator for a vortex generator. But can I build it? No.
Oh, you'll do it. You just gotta give yourself a little time, that's all.
Time? I have no time. I just discovered that this blasted rental is equipped with an ISS.
Yeah, what's that?
Interstellar Safety System. A detonation mechanism designed to prevent advanced technology from falling into the wrong hands. Its timer activates automatically at the point of a crash.
Okay, wait, I heard detonation somewhere in there.
If I don't take off by 9 o'clock tonight, you'll hear a lot more than that.
how much more? Uh-huh.
Lublik.
Martin chugs the contents of the lava lamp. Tim presses his lips together as he watches.
I know you've done your best to help me,
But it's no use. Oh, no. I'm sinking into a Martian depression.
Sinking? No, no sinking. Come on, we gotta go fix this thing.
For your pardon.
No. No, you're not.
He takes Martin's hand, and the alien's arm pops off.
Yes, you are.
On Mars, we get depressed. We literally fall apart.
His leg falls off.
All right, no problem. Okay, don't move. Don't make it any worse than it already is. What we're going to do is we're going to put you back together. We're going to put you back together. Does it screw in? It's not. Okay, just... We're going to put our heads together.
Martin's head drops off and rolls down to the floor.
Coming!
Who's that?
It's Lizzie!
Tim collects Martin's limbs.
You wait here.
Where are you going with those?
Just tidying up!
Give them back! Give me back!
Tim hides them in his couch.
Why do I have to die here?
Grace enters.
Hello?
Don't move.
Martin's head remains on the floor.
Does anything in this room strike you as odd?
Tim!
Just a minute!
Tim grabs his head.
Would you just be quiet? Coming! Lizzie! Oh, Brace!
Tim! Are you decent?
Yes, I am. Why, what a surprise!
Yes, now get lost!
What'd you say?
I'm lost. I'm at a loss for how beautiful you look.
She blows a kiss. As she closes the door, Tim shoots Martin's head into a bathroom hamper.
Tim, I hope you're gonna let me make it up to you.
Oh, no, you don't have to do that. That's up to you.
Grace pulls Tim into a romantic kiss. As she steps away, he nearly falls over.
I brought you a little peace offering. Oh. Where are your wine glasses?
No. That's the bedroom. Those glasses up there.
Or maybe I'll get a little tour later.
Don't miss the bathroom!
I'm sorry?
I have to go to the bathroom later. Glasses are in the, kitchen. Why don't I go get them and you just kind of make yourself at home, okay?
Hey.
Left alone, Grace rolls her eyes and eyes the space disdainfully.
Fantastic apartment, Tim.
Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, there we go.
What a slob.
Sitting on the couch, she chucks snack food away. Martin's arm peeks out behind her. Tim clicks a remote. Grace elbows a cushion over Martin's arm. Martin's hand massages Brace's neck.
Why shouldn't we?
Tim pours beverages.
That's the spot.
Tim notices the neck massage. Pulling away the arm, Tim swaps in his own hand and massages Brace's shoulder.
No harder like before.
Tim starts to move Martin's hand back to her shoulder.
Where's the wine?
Why shouldn't we fall in love? Now is the time for
it.
He uses Martin's arm to grab a glass.
You know, I asked Daddy about giving you another chance.
Oh, good.
He hands it to her.
Here we go.
Ooh, lovely, thanks.
Martin's hand mashes against Tim's face.
You know, I thought that crash of yours might make a... and a cute little story.
Oh, really? Good.
Mm-hmm.
Grace elbows the cushion.
Ow. Cut it out!
What was that?
I didn't hear anything.
She sees Tim biting Martin's hand.
Are you all right?
It looks like his own.
Yes, I really have to go to the bathroom.
Well, hurry back.
She ruffles his hair.
Why shouldn't we?
Be a minute.
He shuts himself in the bathroom.
Tim! Get me out of here!
Stop making all that noise.
He opens the hamper.
Tell her to stop punching me! Besides, what are you doing? Letting that female in your apartment?
You don't understand. I've been waiting a long time to get Grace Channing into my apartment.
But you like Lizzie. I could tell through your saliva exchange.
Excuse me?
Look, Tim, the other night when you were unconscious, Lizzie came here.
And you what? You kissed her?
Yes. No. Well, you did. I did a molecular identical of your body.
What?
You never understand. You people think email's amazing. The point is, while I was you, I tapped into your subconscious, and trust me, you liked Lizzie.
That's why I thought it was okay for you to kiss her.
I didn't kiss her. You did.
Bray sneaks upstairs toward Tim's bedroom. She spots a monitor frozen on Martin taking his bubble bath in his alien form.
Bingo!
Tim? I let myself in the back door. Hello?
Lizzie sees Tim's beverage.
Oh, isn't this nice?
Lizzie, is that you? Oh, you look nice. He's in the bathroom, and he's all yours. I got what I came for.
Carrying videotape, she heads downstairs. Lizzie tearfully watches her leave.
Oh, this is great.
Tim, you don't have a lot of time here.
I'm confused, all right? Everything was going along fine until you came along.
Don't kid yourself. Even a substandard species such as yours has feelings. Just slow down for one millisecond and look into your heart. Whose face do you see?
Martin's head watches from the sink as his human friend gazes off thoughtfully. Tim blinks at him, then leaves the bathroom.
Look, Brace, I think...
Lizzie.
She throws his glass at him and storms for the door.
Lizzie, no, wait, no, please.
This better be good.
Oh, it is. Remember that guy I was with at the pier yesterday?
Your Uncle Martin.
He's not my uncle. He's a Martian. No, he's a Martian. It's the truth. In fact, he was the one who kissed you, not me.
Really?
Yeah. His head's in my sink right now.
She punches him.
Get some sleep. You look awful.
Lizzie.
And if there was anything kinky on that videotape, you better get Brace to give it back.
She storms off. Tim turns. She heads downstairs and starts to leave through the garage.
Fine. Since when did I become a mechanic? Do I look like overalls?
She sees the ship. Upstairs, Tim frantically searches for the tapes.
Uncle Martin!
Lizzie examines the ship.
What was the blue one? I can't see a thing down here.
She turns on a light.
Oh, thanks.
She peers into the ship.
Ow!
Zeus pops up.
No! Lady, please, put a sock in it! Quiet!
Zoot pulls her in and shuts the hatch.
Martin, I told you, we gotta get to the TV station before Brace does.
Open his bag!
Okay.
Martin's head's in a bowling ball bag.
I can't breathe!
I'm sorry!
Where is that confounded Zoot?
Zoot! I think he's in the middle of a spin cycle.
Leave him! Quick, Tim! Get my arm out of the other bag!
All right, okay.
Okay!
Tim holds up Martin's arm.
Okay.
Yes, excellent. Towards the ship. Hi. Okay. Here, let's go.
It activates the device.
Yes. Easy.
Oh, no.
Don't send me to the train.
The ship, Zoot, and Lizzie all shrink.
What was that?
Now, Channing leaves his office with Brace.
Sweetie pie, this is the most amazing footage I've ever seen. Felix, O'Hara's tapes are going on the 6 o'clock. Van Gundy,
yeah.
Call the network. Race is going out live with the story of the century.
Tim arrives outside and rushes in with the bowling bag.
I'm feeling a little carsick.
He accidentally bumps the bag.
Sorry.
Entering a room, Tim turns on the light.
I can't take it anymore.
Running out of time. Okay, try and pull yourself together.
Why? We're all doomed anyway. Without my blasted electron accelerator, the ISS will blow.
I feel like a hacksaw murderer. What the heck is an electron accelerator anyway?
It's a simple low amperage power source that activates the main thrusters.
Oh, you mean kind of like an alternator?
What's an alternator?
It turns over the engine in a car.
A car?
Yeah.
That's it. That should work. We're saved.
Not quite.
Oh, yes, we are.
Listen, I've been videotaping you. I got everything. I got the ship. I got Zoot. I even got you in your Martian form. I was putting together a story and I was going to get it on the air. But I couldn't do it.
Why not?
Because I like you, Martin. I like you. And I'm sorry.
Back in full human form, Martin faces him.
I shouldn't have lied to you.
You're a good human, Tim O'Hara.
Oh, yeah. I'm a terrific.
Martin, you're back!
I like you, too.
They hug.
I've never had feelings before.
Let's go fix my ship.
Yeah, okay. No. We got a problem. The tapes. Brace goes on with a Martian story in 5 minutes.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and I've got to get these tapes to get to Brace before she gets on the air.
But there's not enough time. You can't be in two places at once.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Come on.
Is there an
alien amongst us?
Now Brace rehearses.
Is there an alien amongst us? Is there an alien among...
Billy! Now what?
I want to be Brace Chatty.
Yeah, well, get in line. Now, look, I'm sorry, but I really don't have time to do any order.
Martin extends his antennae.
Quaint, aren't they? These days, most of our young are born cable ready.
You're the...
He makes her levitate.
Daddy!
Heads up, 4 minutes to air. First position.
In the control room, Tim switches the tapes.
Tim, what are you doing here? You look tired.
Oh, yeah, I was up all night with Brace working on the alien story. I made a couple of mistakes in tape number two, but that's the corrected version.
Now, if I could just get through this without having to look in a mirror.
Now, Martin leaves Brace's dressing room, disguised in her form, but still wearing his beachy outfit. He retracts one antennae and pushes in the bent one. As Brace, Martin marches over to Tim on set.
Tim!
The alien winks.
Martin, is that you? There's a wild bear boss in the woods. Good, good. Okay, here, just read the copy as written. Go.
Hi, Brace.
Congratulations, Brace.
Yes, I'm Brace Channing.
Let's hear it for Brace!
Holding up an arm in a stiff wave, the alien faces the studio crew.
Dr. Coli, you're going to become a very famous man.
30 ID and open.
Ready, camera one live.
Tied up in her dressing room, Brace watches the news.
Howard Greenlee, and on special assignment, Brace Channing. What the hell is she wearing?
You know Brace.
Yeah. Must be trendy. 15 seconds, people. Sweetie Pie, get rid of the gum.
Brace shakes her head.
Do they exist?
Billy!
Come on, Brace!
Leave the gum, Billy! Get the gum, Billy!
Brace, 10 seconds.
Hey, ready, camera two live in five.
Give me the gum, Brace.
No,
you gotta
no.
Give me the gum.
Four.
No!
Leave it!
Three.
Get the damn gum!
Billy knocks the Nerplex out of Martin's mouth and sticks it under the news desk among many chewed gum pieces.
The gum is out.
Oh, yes. Thanks to you, Felix.
Tim hurries off.
Howard Greenlee and Grace.
Hugh Howard?
Good evening, I am Howard Green.
What's up with her?
I don't know.
Looking under the news desk, Martin sees his legs reverting to Martian form. Hiding behind a monitor, Tim sneaks over to Martin.
Our own Brace Channing has been following the events as they take place. Brace?
What is she doing?
Howard.
Camera two go.
No!
Brace?
Just read the copy! Just get the Nerplex!
Tim picks at the gum pieces under the desk.
Is there an alien amongst us?
Sorry.
According to Dr. Elliot Colley, chief biologist and head researcher for the SETI group, the answer is...
Martin's hands revert to Martian form, but he hides them.
Yes. She's an alien! She's not an alien! She's my daughter!
What you're about to
see is that evidence.
Actual footage of
the alien. Well, I warn you, its appearance is unlike anything you've ever liked.
You've seen before.
She's gone under the table. She's gone under the table!
And perhaps...
It's not appropriate for...
The footage of the senior flexing at Brace plays.
What the hell is this?
Somebody mislabeled the tapes!
Got it!
Tim emerges from under the desk.
O'Hara! What the hell is O'Hara doing with my daughter?
I don't know. I did.
Get me out of here!
Tim runs off with the alien. The real Brace struggles in her dressing room.
You're a dead man, O'Hara!
Come on!
I think that went pretty well, don't you?
They burst into Brace's dressing room.
All right. Calm down.
Searched everywhere!
Boy, that was dark and empty.
As Martin, the alien flees with Tim.
Wait!
Coli enters her dressing room.
I think Miss Channing might have been contaminated by the alien. Hmm? I'm just going to give her a quick examination.
No!
I'll just be alone.
In her driveway, Lorelei packs a car.
I see. Am I forgetting something? Oh.
In a sundress and shades, she enters the garage.
There it is.
She picks up the shrunken spaceship.
Lady! Down here!
Please!
Oh, this is...
Run down the window! I'm gonna hurl!
Very happy. If he's got a buck or two.
Lorelei drives off as Tim and Martin turn into the driveway.
Hey, Mrs. B, how are you?
Hello, fella!
Tim parks, and Uncle Martin quickly exits.
Shoot!
They go in.
What? My ship! Where is my ship? We only have 2 hours before it explodes!
Check upstairs.
Hurry! Shoot!
He searches the washing machine.
Shoot! Where are you? Boss, you're not Shoot! Where could he be? I'm not leaving this planet without Shoot! Tim!
Not upstairs.
Martin spots a flyer.
What's a Rumaji sale?
Rumaji sale? Rummage. Mrs. Brown.
Now, Tim's car quickly reverses out of the driveway and onto the street. SETI SUVs race toward Tim and Martin.
Looks like we got company.
Boss!
It's them! After them!
Coli rides in one of the SUVs.
Hang on.
Cutting a car off, Tim makes a right turn. The SUVs follow.
Third, I repeat,
give
Guilford
in
third.
Give me that thing! I want a road block!
We're never gonna lose them! Can't you drive any faster than that, you pinhead?
Two more SUVs block the road ahead of Tim's coupe.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Maximum thrust.
What?
Stand on it, stand!
Oh. We're gonna crash!
Agents aim guns.
I think not!
Martin activates his device. The coupe shrinks and speeds between the SUVs. The SUV carrying Coli crashes into the roadblock.
Garage.
Garage.
There! Hang on!
Sharply turning, Tim's car enters a storm drain. It comes to a stop.
Tim, why are we stopping?
Coli and his men peer into the drain.
They're right there.
He spots a sewer and drain cleaning service van.
Get me that thing over there. We're gonna flush them out. I dropped it.
What? Drop what?
My molecular compressor.
Here. Use this.
Tim hands him a flashlight.
This won't work!
No, use it to find it.
Oh.
A cleaner holds a sharp tool.
That'll do very nicely. Now get it in there! A mess! I found it!
We got them now!
The tool approaches them.
I see it!
Tim steers his car deeper into the drain pipe. The tool follows them. The car shoots out of one pipe and into another, and the tool trails behind them.
Faster, faster! It's getting closer!
I'm going as fast as I can!
That's not gonna be fast enough!
Trash blocks Tim's windshield. The trash flies off the windshield, and the tool shreds it.
Martin! Martin, up ahead! We're trapped! Quick, make it small!
Martin activates the device, and the car shrinks again.
Hang on!
The car quickly turns down a small pipe. The tool continues straight and crashes.
Are we clear?
Oh, I think we did it! I see light ahead!
Exiting the pipe, the car plummets into water. The car bobs to the water's surface. Sparse light shines on Tim and Martin's faces.
Where the heck are we?
Hey, Elma, where's my new field and stream?
It's in the bathroom, right where you left it.
Above them, a man lifts a toilet seat lid.
By the way, where's my tuna sandwich?
You want it in there?
The man prepares to sit.
Why'd I eat that fourth burrito?
A shadow looms over the friends' faces. They share a frightened look. Martin holds up his device. Tim looks at his alien friend. The toilet shakes. The restored car crashes through a wall with the man on the hood. The car smashes through the living room and out another wall, carrying him along. It breaks across the street, and he flies into a pile of trash.
Sorry, buddy!
Outside the storm drain.
Sir, the police just had a crank call. 62 Plymouth just came out of a toilet on Woodlawn.
On a street, Tim pulls up alongside Lorelei in his damaged, filthy car.
Pull over! We need to talk!
Tim parks.
Over there.
Where? Oh.
Get the alternator. I'll get the ship.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness, Martin. What's wrong?
Forgive me, Lorelei, but this is urgent. You have something I need desperately.
Oh, wow. Martin, don't say that unless you mean it.
You don't know the half of it. I'm from another world.
Oh, well, I could have told you that.
Locking eyes with Lorelai, Martin slowly inches his face closer to hers. They kiss. Tim opens his car's hood.
Martin!
Martin dips Lorelai.
Martin, come on!
When you look at the stars, think of me.
He takes the ship back.
Feelings for an Earth woman, I've got to get off this planet. I've got it!
I don't have the right tools, so I'm having trouble getting...
Martin yanks out an engine part.
Yeah, or we could do it your way.
But wait! This means your vehicle will cease to function. I know how much it means to you.
Oh, that's too bad. Just had the darn thing washed, too.
That's good. Martin's smile freezes and he slumps forward. A dart juts from his back.
Direct hit!
Uncle Martin!
Coli and his men close in on Tim. Now, at the SETI headquarters, scientists work. A device scans the spaceship. A soldier guards Tim, who is locked in a cell.
Hey! 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 You don't know what you're doing! Hey! Hey!
Don't mess with that spaceship! It's going to explode!
Narrow the beam.
Intensify.
In the ship, light flashes over Lizzie and Zoot.
Ah! I'm not flame retardant!
We're in here! Stop it! We're going to die.
Die? And I'm still virgin woman!
It's okay.
I'm scared! Hold me! Oh, this is nice.
Lizzie pats Zoot. Now, readings appear on a monitor. Among the scientists, Coli gingerly extracts one of Martin's antennae. He snips it off.
Ah, oh, fascinating.
Doctor!
It appears to be some sort of biomechanical transmitting device.
Doctor, there's some chewing gum wedged back in his molar.
Leave it! Pestering me with juicy fruit? This guy's got a radio station inside of his skull. Here. We'll put this under the electron microscope later.
Oh,
excellent. Armitan's gonna be eating his words. Perfect ending to an already perfect day. He's a little pale, isn't he?
I think he's having a negative reaction to the tranquilizers.
Well, 2 cc's of adrenaline, stat!
Doctor, I think we're losing him.
Tim pounds his cell window.
Shut it down. Get ready to try it again, this time full power.
He's pointing to something.
One scientist watches Tim.
Pointing to the face.
Pick it up! Pick it! No!
Stop! That one! Yeah!
Tim mimes using Martin's device.
This! Do this!
The scientist pushes its button, and the spaceship returns to its full size. Scientists back away as it fills the room. Zoot and Lizzie emerge.
Tim!
Hello!
All right, back off, Gomer!
Zoot steals a key card.
You get Tim, I'll scare the locals. Let's get out of here!
The scientists flee.
Nobody will take on the suit! My zipper is stuck!
Lizzie frees Tim.
Lizzie!
Tim! Oh, are you okay?
Fine,
oh,
fine.
Believe.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Tim eyes the ship's warning display.
Find Martin.
Yeah.
Tim picks up the alternator.
Step off!
A guard aims at them.
You don't understand. That spaceship's gonna explode in 20 minutes.
It is?
On the floor. Now.
Excuse me, Arnold, Jean-Claude. Not working.
It's an empty suit.
Empty suit! Now you've done it, grasshopper.
Zoot assumes a martial arts stance.
Boxing? You should be boxing groceries.
The taller guard punches Zoot, and his fist gets caught.
Say, aren't you one of the Spice Girls?
He runs at Zoot, who dodges. The guard falls.
Beam is down, butthead to go. So is it true you peed your bunk in summer camp?
The other guard shoots Zoot.
Tim! Lizzie!
Zoot falls, and Tim tackles the guard. Lizzie notices his pistol on the floor. Tim struggles to get up. She crawls for the gun. Grabbing Tim, the guard slams his head down and swings him against the wall. Lizzie grabs the pistol, but the other guard lifts her by her throat. Tim headbutts his attacker and grabs a nearby fire extinguisher. He whacks the guard, choking Lizzie. The imposing man drops her and turns.
This is gonna hurt.
The guard punches Tim, who staggers into the other guard. Zoot shakes Lizzie.
Lizzie!
The ship's gonna explode!
Manax 7, do this!
You gotta believe it!
Lizzie holds up the VNOC 7 Nerplex. She sees one guard holding Tim while the other beats him. She pops the Nerplex in her mouth. Suddenly, a huge tentacle wraps around her choker's arm and lifts him. Wearing Lizzie's dress, a big green tentacled monster with huge teeth dangles the guard. It sends the guard crashing through monitors. Tim ducks, and the remaining guard flees. With a mighty leap, the Lizzie monster blocks his path. Tim watches as the monster eats the guard whole in a series of gulps.
Did you do something with your hair?
Glad you noticed.
She spits out the Nerplex and resumes her normal human form. Her green color fades and her tentacles disappear. She shakes herself off a little groggily. She helps Tim to his feet.
I think I liked you better the other way.
Oh, really? Well, that could be arranged.
No. We gotta find Martin. Where's Zoot?
Zoot shrinks into his container.
Oh, no.
Now the scientists use a defibrillator on Martin.
Come on!
Doctor, he's gone.
No pulse.
He's not gone till I say he's gone, so back off!
Back off! Now!
Charge the battle! All right, we're charged.
In an upper corridor, Tim and Lizzie watch them through a window.
Come on, Martin.
Damn!
There's no pulse, Doctor.
All right. I'm calling it. 8:15.
We're too late.
No, hurry.
Would you like me to do the autopsy, Doctor?
Are you insane? You get out of here! Get out! Get out! All of you idiots! You get out! You get out! You get right out! Come on. Okay, my sorry little Martian. Have it your way.
Lizzie enters and scrubs.
Let's open you up.
Assistant doctor?
What? No! You... Hey, wait a minute. You're not...
She came with me. Huh? Clear.
Tim uses the defibrillator on Coli, who grimaces and collapses. Lizzie pulls down her surgical mask and eyes Martin sadly.
Must be together.
Lizzie looks to Tim, who nods compassionately. She places the container on Martin's sternum. Slowly emerging from it, Zoot covers Martin's body.
Zoot!
Zoot shimmers as his bullet holes heal themselves. Martin's hand starts moving.
Martin?
Coming to, he sits up with wide eyes.
Martin!
Oh, Tim!
Lizzie, you're
breathing, baby! I still got the touch!
Oh, you beauteous bastard!
Martin, we can't do that, huh? Easy in front of them. I got it.
Okay. Martin! We don't have much time.
What?
Now, Tim, Martin, and Lizzie stealthily make their way toward the headquarters fence with the ship.
All units, stand by for total lockout.
Martin, can you get the lockout?
I think so.
He unlocks an electric gate.
Come on.
They quickly exit. Floodlights pierce the night sky from the base.
Stay down. Stay down. Here's the place.
All right. Stand back, you two.
Setting down his shrunken ship, Martin uses the device to restore it to full size. Lizzie and Tim stare. The limousine enters the base, and the white-haired Armaton lowers his window.
What's going on? Where's the alien?
There's been a slight problem, sir.
Well, open that gate. Let's find Dr. Coloc.
Yes,
come
sir.
On, come on.
Yes, sir, right away.
At the ship, Martin lowers a panel to reveal a futuristic engine. Tim Hansen, the alternator.
There. Contact. There. I think that's going to work.
The panel rises back into place.
Gonna miss you, Martin. You too, Zoot.
You're so full of starch! Let him know how you feel! You're the best pet I ever had!
Zoot forces Martin to hug Tim.
Lizzie, my dear friend.
Take care of Martin.
She hugs him, and he gives her a big kiss.
I've done that before. It's very nice. I highly recommend it.
He moves around his spaceship.
Good luck, you two!
Headlights pierce the misty air as an SUV approaches. The friends turn to see Coloc wielding an assault rifle.
Something tells me you're gonna miss your flight.
Then in 2 minutes we all die.
You're lying.
Are you certain about that, Coloc?
Armitan arrives.
Because I'm not.
What are you saying?
Release him.
Release him? I have spent an entire career trying to prove that aliens exist. Now he's my proof. Dead or alive, he's staying with me.
Coloc tries to aim his gun, but it floats away.
Martin
shrugs. Armitan twirls his finger.
Coloc, you always were a little brat.
What?
Neenert.
Neenert?
I haven't heard that name in a long time. Pronounced properly anyway.
You mean it was you all along? I can't believe this. I should have known. You're a Martian. I was...
Martin and Neenert point at Coloc, and he lifts off the ground and shakes violently. His features distort grotesquely under their control. Lizzie and Tim share a stunned look. Martin and Neenert share a smile, then send Coloc flying into a bush.
Wait a minute. You're the one I saw at the pier.
I was trying to get to you before they did. I've been trying to hitch a ride home for 30 years. What a beauty. Oh, by the way, I believe these belong to you.
Neenert hands him a beaker.
My antennae. I can't go home without these. I have a hard enough time getting dates as it is.
Mine's always giving me trouble, too. And everything's in black and white.
Coloc rises from the bush.
That gum lost its flavor in 66.
All right, let's go. Come on. Gotta go. Farewell.
Come back for a visit sometime.
Maybe.
Neenert morphs into his true form.
I'm beginning to see a glimmer of potential among you Earthlings. One word of advice. You'll never completely advance as a culture until you take care of your oceans and do away with daytime talk shows.
Standing close by Tim, Lizzie waves.
Come on, you crazy lovebirds. Stop being such a hysterical house coat.
See you, Zoot.
Rolling. Keep them doggies rolling.
The hatch closes and the ship's engine starts.
Aliens.
Coloc scurries toward the ship. Tim and Lizzie back up. Spaceship takes off into the sky. Coloc finds Neenert's chewed Nerplex on his shoe.
What the? Ew. Gum. Wait, this is the alien gum. Yes.
Oh, wait. I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Well, you're not me, are you?
He chews it.
I can learn more about them from your leftovers.
He grows Martian arms.
Brilliant! I can feel every molecule of my body starting to change!
He accidentally swallows the gum.
Oh no.
Coloc's eyes triple in size and his head takes on a Martian form. Soldiers and scientists approach.
Hold it! Don't move!
No!
Stop! Don't shoot! Get the tranquilizer gun!
No, not that, you idiot! I'm not a Martian!
Tranquilizer gun! We've got a real-life Martian!
Tim and Lizzie sneak away as more soldiers move in. Now, a TV shows Brace participating in a protest.
We are not leaving until they listen to us! We've got proof!
I saw one! He cloned my body! He could be anywhere by now! The truth is out there!
Congress City Hall. I'm Bill Randall, KGSC.
Turning the television off, Lizzie walks over to Tim, who naps in a chair.
Hey, sleepy. Brought you some tea.
He sits up.
Listen, I've been thinking. Now that I really know what happened between us, I think maybe we should just go back to the way things used to be. Our friendship really does mean a lot to me.
Yeah, well, I've been thinking too, and I think I've got enough friends.
She smiles, and they share a loving kiss. They break apart. Over Tim's driveway, a small spaceship descends unsteadily. Tim and Lizzie peer out from a balcony. The spaceship lands outside Tim's home. An empty Zoot jumps out.
One giant leap for man, one step backward for Martians.
Zoot?
Hey, Tim! Lizzie! We're back! Zoot!
Fully dressed as a human, Martin tosses him a bag.
Go on, Sky Captain, kind of love.
What's wrong?
Nothing. We've decided to stay here with you.
You what?
I kept thinking about how lonely I was going to be without you. And since you said you were going to miss me, I thought I'd save us both the heartache of separation. Yahoo!
Martin, I can't miss you if you don't go.
Exactly. Isn't it wonderful? Farewell, Venus.
The ship takes off.
Wait a minute. Where is he going?
To Mars, of course.
It launches into the starry night sky, leaving a trail of sparks.
Martin, what are you doing?
Tim, since we'll be living together, let's do something about this furniture.
Living together? What do you mean living?
I say we get rid of this couch and buy a hyperbolic resting table like normal beings have.
No, you're not staying here.
Hey, who wants ice cream? Tonight I'm craving praline swirl.
Martin! You think this is fun? You haven't seen him eat ice cream. It's not pretty!
Oh, Rocky Road! Oh,
yeah. Martin, you can't... He doesn't sleep. He doesn't let me sleep. This can't happen. I can't have a Martian for a roommate. I can't. I just...
Lizzie smiles.
Oh, maybe I can.
They kiss.
So, we've got Cookie Doll. What's up? Zoot, where are you?
Downstairs.
Bartender, a Mai Tai, please. Victoria's Secret. You people know how to live.
Zoot sits in the washing machine.
Lycra.
Cut to black. Credits roll. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios, voiced by Jedediah Barton. Against a blue background, words sit under a louvered image of a castle, Walt Disney Pictures, a shooting star creates an arch.